you are in the film and you play the part of a chief.
Yeah, I play Chief Bonnycastle. He was chief of the Osages in the early 1920s. He helped get the federal government out to start investigating.
Let's go back to your acting experience that qualifies you to be an actor here. Didn't you have some experience at the Oklahoma City Theater Company?
Yes, I was in a... this was in 2012 or 2013. I was in a production of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and I played Chief Bromden, who Will Sampson made famous in the movie. And it was quite an experience. It was rigorous work, because every night we had to rehearse, and I didn't have much experience. Basically, I had none, and everybody around me had experience. And I thought that when I got the character, I didn't know that the play was different than the movie, and Chief Bromden had a lot of lines.
Oh my.
So it was different than the movie, so I really had to bear down and memorize, and I got a lot of help from my fellow actors. I think it helped out as far as, you know, every night, you know, Thursday through Sunday when we do the production, you couldn't mess up. So I think that helped out in Killers of the Flower Moon as far as learning my lines and being ready for when we were filming, and even able to ad-lib if we needed to.
Yeah.
Kind of. So I was all set. So I think that helped out.
So you decided to audition for the film Killers of the Flower Moon. What made you make that decision?
Well, a friend of mine was a local casting guy that just did the local background cast, and he was in charge of all of getting these cattle calls, what they called, where in Oklahoma City and Tulsa and Pawhuska and all these different towns in Oklahoma, he would get the local hotel, and then they would set up, and they would then it was a cattle call, because everybody, they publicize it and say, hey, we're having a for this movie, Killers of the Flower Moon, we're taking, you know, people that want to be in the movie to come and audition. And basically what it was is everybody showed up to that town, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, and or Pawhuska, and it was just a line of 1,000 people sitting out, and they waited, and when you went in, you would put your name into a computer, then they take your measurements, and then they take the picture of you. You state your name, and then they'd say thank you, and, you know, the majority of them, they would just leave. And then I was in Tulsa working on in a business meeting, and the guy that was in charge of that called me and said, man, you gotta do this. Just do it. Cause he knew I was in that theater thing, and he always said that I should be an actor, and he was like, just do it. And I go, man, I don't want to wait in line. And he goes, if you just show up, I'll put you at the front of the line. So I showed up, he put me at the front of the line, and I did all of that. And then after they took my picture, some lady tapped me on the shoulder and said, follow me. And I followed her, and I started off doing just a little bit of a dialogue with another person. And then they said, okay. And then I went into another room and did a little more dialogue, and then another room did a little more dialogue. Until at the very end, it was in front of a camera. I didn't realize it because it was dark when you could see the camera, but the lady that I was doing the dialogue with, because it was a lot longer dialogue, was Ellen Lewis, and she's one of the biggest casting directors around. So they kind of, I guess, filter you out as you go through, you know, that. And then I didn't hear anything for like a year because COVID hit. And so I forgot all about it. And then I got a call in November of 2021, and they said who they were and where they're from. And they said, are you available from March 2022 to September, March 2022? And you can't go on vacation or anything like that. I said, yes. And they said, this doesn't mean anything. We just wanted to check that off a box. And I said, okay. And then I didn't hear from them until January when they said, here, we want you to, they emailed me it was like a soliloquy and it says it was a council person talking to other council members and other people, tribal members. And I think it was a page and a half or maybe two pages. And this was in January 2022. And they said, just have somebody videotape it. It has to be a minute and 30 seconds at the most. And they said, you can memorize it all and just do it like that, or you can memorize, make it your own. But if you make it your own, you've got to do the first four or five sentences exactly like that, like it's written. And then your last four or five sentences exactly how it is. So I memorized it, but then I actually made it my own in the video audition I did, and I had a friend of mine video it. But I couldn't get it down to a minute and 30, and finally I just kept staying at 3 minutes, and finally I said, man, what are the odds that I'm going to get a speaking role in this movie? I'm kind of tired of doing this, just email it to them. And then in February they called me and they said, hey, we need you to sign an NDA. So I sent it to my partner, who's an attorney, and told him to look it over real quick, and he said, yeah, that looks fine. And I signed it, emailed it back, and then they called me. Like, I swear it was probably 2 minutes after they received my email, and they called me, and then it was the head casting person that called and just said, hey, we wanted to congratulate you and say you have the role of Chief Bonnie Castle. It's a Prince will be speaking role in this. I'm in, and that's how I got it. And then I had to show up. I mean, and then I had to go for costume measurements. I had to drive out to Bartlesville because they rented out a big building there across from Conoco and where the airport is. And so I had to go up there for measurements and meet the head costume person, and then makeup and hair and all of that kind of stuff. They had to, you know, look at me. And then I think I started in March, sometime in March. End of March or 1st of April, I can't remember, I have to look at my records, but was my first scene. And then, you know, it went on, off and on, off and on, until end of September or 1st of October. I can't remember that either. But that's how that happened.
But the thrill of finding out you were going to have a speaking part, that had to be wonderful for you.
Yeah, it was crazy. I didn't know how to react. See, I found out later a lot of people cry. Because it's you know, they're in a Scorsese movie, and I didn't really know how to react. I was just like, I still was thinking, is this the background? And then it was just surreal. And then at the end of the call, they go, well, the Apple lawyers are going to be calling you tomorrow and going over your contract. And I was like, okay, this is not a background role.
right.
So, it was quite an experience.
So then you know you're going to do your first scene. And what was that scene?
Let's see. I was supposed to do a roundhouse scene, and that was going to be my first scene. But that's when Robert De Niro hurt his leg. And he had to stay in New York City to kind of get it back to, you know, where he was able to get around. And so I was all ready for that. I had everything memorized, and then that got called up like on the right last minute. And then they said, well, we're going to do your other scene the next week. So I memorized that, and it was with Jesse Plemons, who plays Tom White, the FBI, or the government official agent that J. Edgar Hoover picked to do it. He's the old Texas Marshal. Mm-hmm. And he's played by, his name's Tom White, and he's played by Jesse Plemons, who's a great actor. And that was, you know, I was the Chief Bonnie Castle, and we're having a meeting, and I'm talking to him. And so that was my first one. I had all my lines memorized, and it worked out really well.
So then your Martin Scorsese is there watching you do this.
Yeah, he's behind the camera,
and
it's crazy. Well, yeah, it's crazy. Well, it's crazy because that wasn't my exact time. That was my first really long speaking line one that I had. The other time, the first time I was on there, it was in another scene, and I didn't have any speaking lines, but I was one of the main people in the background stuff. And I remember walking onto the set. This is the first time I remember walking on the set. And going into a house, and Marty, I call him Marty, he said, I'm walking in, he sees me, and he goes, Yancey Redcourt. He goes, man, I've been waiting to meet you. I really like your voice. And then he gives me a fist bump. And then I I go, man, it's great to meet you. And then I keep walking in to get set up to where I need to be in my scene. And I'm just like, this is really crazy. And like, he knew who I was. I mean, obviously he saw my audition, and he was the main person that picked me, you know, in the end. So he's, you know, he's a brilliant, well, he's a genius.
How did it bring us to the set? How did they do that? Roll film or quiet on the set, or how did they do that just before?
Yeah, well, it starts, you know, quiet on set, and it's rolling, and then it's action. That's what it is.
Did you have to do many takes?
Yeah, you had to take a bunch of takes and do the lines over and over and over again, because they would do the camera from one angle, then they'd do it another angle and another angle and another angle. And then, you know, like, it'd be close up on the person that I'd be talking to. Then, you know, first it's close up of me talking, and then it's close up of the other person talking, and then they go further back, and then maybe they go up above us, and, you know, here or there. I mean, it was just depending on where they felt like changing it. I mean, they did it from all sorts of angles. I mean, like, I did a thing for Reservation Dogs like 3 or 4 weeks ago, mm-hmm. for an episode, and I was amazed how quick they moved. And it was so different than in the movie.
Oh.
But yeah. See, they're on a different budget, and they have to move quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to do it, you know, I had to do my lines over and over and over again with the same person or the different people that are in it. And they just did it from a different angle.
Yeah.
Which could kind of get, I mean, I'm not complaining, but, you know, kind of get, there's sometimes where I had to get out of the complete way and turn my neck. And I was leaning against the camera, and the camera's hot, and it felt like it was burning my face, and I'm doing my line, you know, as the close-up's going on the other one. But I had to move close, and it was really hot outside. And so it was just really interesting. That was just one particular part of how, you know, they moved the cameras all different around and even right beside me.
You worked hard there, and then you saw the other actors and DiCaprio and De Niro. And aren't you impressed on how hard these actors work?
Yes. From starting from Scorsese, he was just, I mean, working. He was in Tosca, or he, I don't know where he lived, maybe Tulsa or Bartlesville or whatever, but he was there all the time and always working and rewriting the scripts. And then just the massive amount of memorization that DiCaprio and De Niro had to do, and Lily Gladstone and Jesse Plemons, the amount that they had to do. And what's even more interesting with DiCaprio, De Niro, and Lily Gladstone, they had to learn Osage, because they speak Osage in the movie, not all the time, but they did. And so they had to take lessons from our language consultants. Osage language consultants are teachers, because we have a really good program of an immersion school for Osages that teaches the language. So these teachers are really good. For example, when I was out in Cannes, I was talking to Robert De Niro, and he said, "How's Chris Cody doing?" And Chris Cody's my nephew, and he's an Osage language teacher. And he goes, "Man, tell him." He goes, "Videotape this and send it to him." So I videotaped him talking to my nephew, Chris Cody. He goes, "Man, thank you, Chris. You were very helpful as my language consultant, and it really helped out." To have to memorize your lines, and then also DiCaprio and De Niro and Lily Gladstone having to also learn how to speak Osage with the right accent and the right guttural accents that Osages have is just amazing. They're just brilliant. Brilliant.
Did you have any scene where you would interact with those three that you just mentioned?
Yes. I was in a big roundhouse scene, and I was kind of the main person talking, because I was the chief, and it was a roundhouse scene, and I'm, you know, I had to interact with everybody.
So DiCaprio, De Niro, Gladstone,
and Lily Gladstone.
And so you were interacting with these three. That had to be something to,
I did a speech, and I don't know if it's in the movie. I mean, not all of it's in the movie or something, but Scorsese asked me to do a little ad lib, and he called it scatting, and I did. And then after, it was interesting. I walked on when he asked me to come out and talk to him, so I'm talking to him, and then he said, "Okay, I just want you to say whatever's coming to your mind, you know, scat it. So I'm right when he tells me, I'm saying, okay. And then I'm walking in and I'm sitting down, and then they're going rolling to action. While they're saying rolling, I'm going, I have no idea what I'm going to say. But then I pretended I was my great grandfather during this time and what he was going through, and just, you know, started talking to everybody like that, you know, what was going on at the time and this and that, and, you know, how I was feeling and how I knew everybody else was feeling, and kind of talking to everybody there. And after it was done, and they said, cut, he, Scorsese came out and he goes, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. De Niro came and pat me on the shoulder and he said, that was great. And then as I was walking out, DiCaprio gave me a fist bump and he goes, that was a great speech.
Went, isn't that wonderful?
You know, thanks, yeah. And then I, you know, as I walked out, I don't remember what I said. I mean, I don't have a clue. You know? But it was, you know, it was like maybe my great grandfather might enveloped me, and because I honestly had no idea what I was going to say.
He was channeling you, as we say, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Well, then, what you just talked about, that ad lib, and you have seen the film, obviously. Did that make it into the film?
Some parts.